The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, but we probably won't. The review of the goofy news, got some for you today, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think he is. Devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become our spiritual reflections. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Why? Because I pay for the time. That's why. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet really cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. So, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here's the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about that living life as a Christian thingy. Don't forget that living life is a Christian thingy. If you have an opinion, a comment, or a thought, you are welcome to share it on this show. We give you an open opportunity to share. We're not looking for people to be zinging other people, other ministries, other elements. We're looking for people to encourage one another. That's the goal that we have. There's plenty of zingy out there. You can even go to the grocery store and buy zinger treats. They're the little zinger ones that have little cream filling. You can do that anytime you want. But on this show, we want to be encouraging and lifting up. So if you have an opinion, a comment, or a thought, we just don't want you to let it die of loneliness. You can either give us a call at 972-445-0770. Now watch how fast I can say that. 972-440. Or I can say it this. Did you hear anything I just said? Was that pretty fast?
Yeah. I
that was pretty fast, right? Or 972-445-0770. That's the slow-mo mode. Also, you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You can also email us, david@hemustincrease.org. The whole premise is for us to share with one another. The idea is we do some teachings. We do a little bit of entertaining. I got a couple of jokes that I think are Christian classics, although I've already warned T and she's already got the buzzer ready. I will be making a brief comment before we get rolling into Read and Ramble, which we're going to do today because we couldn't do it the other day. I'm going to make a brief political comment. Yeah, it's going to be political. But it's not really a political comment. It's more like a I told you so comment. Okay? I'm not one of those people that typically says I told you so unless I did, and then I am. And that's how that works. Anyhow, so if you have a prayer request or praise report, or you just want to share something, you want to keep it cool, not a big problem. We'd love to have you call into the show. The bottom line is we do a lot of Bible trivia, and we get some different things going, some different elements. I do want to actually do something a little different, and that is I want to make a comment, if I may. I don't think we really need to cover much more in this initial one, right? We just kind of go into it. And I'm going to be really nice about it, and watch how I do it. So funny. The representative from New York, Carolyn Maloney, who we will now know as Carolyn Full of Baloney. That's her new name. She is very upset that people dissented and don't agree with the things that she thinks are correct politically and has decided that there should be a probe for every group that disagrees. Now, what that means is that there would be no more free speech. Not We just want our opinion to win, more like we don't want to have other opinions, okay? Which is like, for a Jewish guy like myself, two Jews, three opinions, that's a big problem right there all by itself. So we just want to say that in regards to free speech and in regards to the United States, which as you can tell, it's getting a little tougher and a little tougher. Don't have to be weird about it. You know what's happening. That I'm just going to say, I told you so. 9 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 2 years ago when I started this show, a year ago, 6 months ago. The whole idea behind restricting free speech has nothing to do with politics. People are just not aware of what's going on. The whole idea is to start it with politics, but to put the full grasp on gospel proclamation so that the kingdom of God is, the attempt is to silence. But that will never happen. And it won't happen because even in the greatest adversity, the kingdom of God still advances. And this is what you're going to see. Google, which I've said before, YouTube, which I've said before, Twitter, which I've said before, Facebook, which I've said before, are not your best friends. Better get used to it. And the reality check is when they start moving past politics and into, you can't say that even if the Bible says so because it's offensive, you'll know what's going on. So my only response to Carol Maloney, New York representative in regards to that is Carol Maloney, now Carol Full of Baloney. That's my comment. By the way, if they want to come and arrest us for preaching the gospel, I'm right here at the studio. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Just come knock on the door. If it goes suddenly silent, you'll know they did that. Okay? All right. All right. I had to get that out of my system. So for those of you who bear with me, it's like, you don't typically do politics. I know, but when people do that, you know, they'd be shutting down all radio, all television, all everything, and just saying, everybody conform to what we say. Yeah. Come here in Texas and tell us that. How about that? Okay, now we're going to do something we haven't done successfully, not one time. Okay, maybe once out of six attempts, so we'll try it again. We're going to do our wonderful Read and Ramblin'. We're going to do it out of the Book of Colossians. So now T is going to play Read and Ramblin' the intro.
Well, I'm ramblin'.
Isn't that just the greatest intro?
I love that one. It's so funny.
All right, Colossians chapter 1. So what I'm going to do is read and comment. So people are just like, well, should read the whole thing and then comment. No, I figured something out. When you read more than one or two verses, people lose. They lose it. They're not even following. So we're going to go through each element as we can, except for the very first verse. Then right after that, we're going to break into it. All right, here's the opening to Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul writes this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So it is important to understand that Paul is acknowledging he's writing this. He's an apostle, one sent forth by the will of God, not by his own declaration. I've actually met people that said, I'm an apostle. And I just simply said to them, if you're an apostle, you never have to tell anybody you're an apostle. Okay, if it's of the Lord, you know. It's just right there and then. And so Paul starts off, Paul, an apostle of Christ, just by the will of God, not by me, but by him. And Timothy, our brother, Timothy was working with Paul in the gospel, advancing the kingdom, and was in charge of Ephesus and had a lot of different things going on. So he's hanging out with Paul, and he says, to the saints in Colossae, okay, which means he's writing to the saints. For those that are trying to figure out whether saints are dead or not, you don't write letters to dead people. Okay, I don't get mad at me. It's not... Dave, stop that. Okay, sure. To the saints in Colossae, the faithful brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The real question there is the faithful brothers, the question comes up, is there unfaithful brothers? And I can guarantee you that if in the church, we're all in church and you're there and there's 200 people in your church, and the Lord comes back, and the rapture takes place in the premillennial dispensational method, and we all who are believers go up, and that takes place. Not every person in that 200-member church is going up. You should know that. I mean, come on, right? You don't get to become a Christian because you go to church any more than you become a car when you walk through the garage. It's like that. You know, that's Billy Sunday's great line. Here's what he says. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Look, this is an epistle. Paul's writing this letter, and the first thing he says, besides his typical grace and peace, which is tremendous, of course, and we've talked about that in Philippians and Ephesians, but he says, we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We pray for you. We don't sit there and go, oh, Lord, just going to pray for David again. That's not what we should be doing. We should be seeing that great part in one another of what the Lord has done in our lives. In other words, there is Jesus in me. There is Jesus in Tierra. There is Jesus in Jennifer. There is Jesus in the people in our audience. We should be acknowledging the work that Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if they call you Dr. Fahrenheit because you have so many degrees. The bottom line is you never stop growing in the Lord, and you'll never stop on this side. And we're always growing, we're always developing, always moving, and the Lord's always working in us. And he's not like out there going, yeah, I'm going to take a break from Dave for the next 2 years and let him just be an idiot. He's already working with me as an idiot. That's the whole point. He's trying to make me more like him. And so Paul opens up and says, we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We think great things about you, and we're praying for you, and we're thanking God for you, and we ought to be thanking God for one another. It's amazing how a simple word or a simple smile even at church can make somebody feel more welcome. Isn't that bizarre? Have you ever noticed that? You go in there and somebody, hey, and then you get to say hello and somebody knows who you are. And there's something about it. There's some great element there that ministers to your heart. And that's because that's your brother. That's your sister. Your blood relatives by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have the same Father, our Heavenly Father, and we drink from the same fountain, the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? And so he's like, oh, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We come back, we're going to do a trivia when we come back, and we're going to pick up, and I'm just going to finish this one sentence. Isn't that fun, though? It's like you look at it, you go, that's kind of cool, right? Yeah, thanking God when I'm praying for the people, yeah. Thanking God for all the cool things. I thank God for each and every one of you that listen. There are some of you I don't even know. And you know what? I still thank God for you because you're listening, and you're praying for us. And even though I haven't met you face to face, which is something Paul says in some of his epistles, I still, by the grace of God, pray that the Lord bless you and encourage you and strengthen you. You don't have to call in. You don't have to email. You don't have to text. That's not going to stop us from praying and hoping and believing the best for you. That's what Paul's talking about. Now, that's the kind of read and ramble I like. I like this one. I think this might stick. All right, we're going to take our break and come back. We are going to have trivia when we come back, so you better get ready. It's going to be on the Romans Road. But right now, we'll break. You're listening to the David Swoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am, you reach down.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience.
again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Amazing grace. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All righty. I'm pretty excited. I really liked how that read and ramble went. We're going to do a little bit more in a second. And I like doing Colossians. I'm actually teaching this out of the Berean Study Bible. It's another translation. So there's the Berean Study Bible, Berean Literal Bible. There's a couple of different ones. It's a real unique translation, so it's one of those that I just tend to appreciate. We're going to do a trivia question. It's going to be related to the Romans Road, so I'm wanting you guys to get ready. Got a lot of stuff to cover today still, but let me just set this trivia question up to make it as simple as possible, and then I'll tell you how to get in touch with us for your answer. So we're talking the Romans Road, and the Romans Road is quite simply through the book of Romans, you can take a person through the process and show them, one, the reality, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Number two, you take them to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, so that's the second place you go, and it says the wages of sin are death. So if all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, then all are going to receive the wages of those sins, and the wages of those sins are death, spiritual and physical. The remedy is also in the other part of Romans 6:23, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So one of the coolest things that people miss in the gospel is you're never going to earn it. It's a gift. You're either going to receive that which is a given, and by receive, some people get upset. Well, don't say accept. Accepting is a process or a part of receiving, so stop saying silly stuff. The bottom line is all sinned, fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So yesterday we said, well, you know, what is the motivator in that? And what's one of the things that help us understand that? And that's Romans 5:8. But God showed his love for us, his love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He made that remedy for us even while we were distant and far away. So the first two, all of sin and the wages of sin is death, that's the reality. The remedy, free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Romans 5:8, God showed his love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now we have a responsibility. So God lays out the reality, shows us the remedy, and now we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And my trivia question is, What is one or both of the things that are required in our response found in Romans? So the reality, we're sinners and we're going to die. The remedy, God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins because he loved us. Our response is now what? Well, how do we respond? That's the Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you know the answer, if you kind of know the answer, it's a kind of a two-parter. I will do my best to help you if you call in. The number to call in, if you do want to call in, is 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. Or you can text 214-210-8483. In the meantime, let's also give a quick plug for our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so for simplicity's sake, what's our response to the gospel? What do we need to do? There's kind of two things that are in there, and they involve different parts of your body, and we'll answer that. Okay, what's that? Okay, gotcha. And we're going to go ahead and do our rest of our read and ramble right now. I want to finish up on this portion from Colossians chapter 1. So we just talked about the fact that Paul starts off the whole letter, the whole epistle, says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And it's like, oh, that's cool. So when you're praying for people, you have this great connection. You're thanking God for them. You appreciate them. You appreciate different people in your life. You have this attitude of gratitude for the graciousness that God has poured into other people and that those people are around you. And so it's you. Let's say you have an, I love saying this and people get upset, but it's kind of funny. If you have an ounce of Jesus and the person next to you has an ounce of Jesus and the person next to them has an ounce of Jesus and the person next to them has an ounce of Jesus, then together you have 4 ounces of Jesus. I mean, it's just, it's simple and it's goofy, but it makes the point and that's the key. So Paul says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we've heard about your, get ready. Remember in 1 Corinthians 13, Now there's these three that remain. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians 13:13 what that is? These three remain. Faith, hope, and love. Okay? Watch what Paul says in Colossians 1:4 that connects to that. Because we have heard about your faith in Christ Jesus, faith, your love for all the saints, love, springing up from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. See how, oh, is this wonderful? See how faith, love, and hope are in Colossians chapter 1, verse 4, as well as in that 1 Corinthians 13 passage where it says these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Here, Paul, using that same formula, come on, you got it, yeah, that's cool, same formula, is talking about faith, love, and hope. But he does something very interesting. He says, we have heard about your faith, which means faith has a reputation. And your faith is heard about. And when you call in and share with what things are going on in your life and how you're trusting in the Lord or you're giving answers and you're connecting, that's a part of sharing your faith. Other people understand sharing your faith as how they live and how they impact other people. Your faith has a voice. That's what I'm trying to say to you. And when you live that faith, it speaks. And Paul says, because we've heard about your faith in Christ Jesus, he's heard about it. And your love for all the saints, going right back to we thank God when we pray about you, love for the saints. People, you go into 1 John, you cannot miss it, that if we don't love the saints, if we don't love the people of God, we got problems. Because those are the people that God has chosen, that those are your brothers and sisters. And you might not agree with everything your brother or your sister says, which I would think that's pretty obvious. I don't agree with everything my brother says or thinks or my sister says or thinks. But I can still love them. And so my brother might think that, you know, football is dumb. I might think then, therefore, my brother is dumb. See how that works? It's a joke. People laugh. It's okay. And so he says, you know, hey, we've heard about your faith and the love you have for the saints. Here's the key. Springing up from the hope that is stored up for you. The one thing I want you to get out of this first couple of sentences, Paul says and uses hope this way, hope is a launching pad or a springboard for everything we're doing. It's because we hope in the Lord. It's because we're going to live forever in Him. It's because He loves us and we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth. That hope, that anticipation is what gives us the spring that pushes us forward. Springing up, listen to what he says, springing from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. I just want to double check and I'll make sure. Does it say springing up for the hope for you that is stored up on earth? No. It says springing up from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. Isn't that cool? And that's what springs us forward, is that hope for heaven. And that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Paul takes faith, hope, and love, and reworks the formula in Colossians. Now, I'm going to do the trivia answer in just a second. So here's the thing to remember. Faith, hope, and love have a formula in 1 Corinthians 13. It also has a formula in Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. Faith has a reputation that people hear about. The love should be towards the saints, and our hope should be our springboard. The best way to think about that for me, because I'm simple, is did you ever go to a pool that has a diving board? Okay, just real quick. So you go to the diving board, and you get to the end of the diving board, and you go da-ding, da-ding, and it goes pa-doo, and it shoots you up. That's what it's talking about right there. Make sense? Okay. All right. I like this read and ramble thing. This can be kind of fun for me. This could be irritating for others, but you have to love me. It's required. The response that the Lord expects from us, because I only have 30 seconds. The reality is we're all sinners. The remedy is that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And that while we were still sinners, he died for us and showed his love to us. The response is Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Our response is declare with our mouth and to believe in our heart, and thereby you're saved. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then coming back at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. From 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.